This episode of the podcast is very different from my previous episodes, which are typically trail reviews. This podcast is categorized as outdoors or hiking on most platforms, but this specific episode is really a brief true crime episode. I decided to do this episode after happening upon a very intriguing yet disturbing news story, which was hiking related. If you're with children when you listen to this podcast, you might want to listen to it with your headphones on, as they will likely find it disturbing. After reading an initial article on this event, I decided to delve much deeper into it and found numerous sources of various information which were used to develop this episode. Those sources include the Yavapai County Sheriff's Department, FBI.gov, CBS News, ABC News, ABC 15 News, MSN, Arizona's Family Channels 3 and 5, All About Arizona News, WilliamsNews.com, NBC 12 News, Smithsonian Magazine, Wikipedia, and the U.S. Forest Service. Before we move on to the story, I'd like to thank the subscribers and casual listeners of this podcast, which is available on most podcast platforms. The podcast just celebrated its one-year anniversary. I decided to create this podcast because of my love of hiking, backpacking, and other outdoor activities. While I've enjoyed creating and publishing 22 episodes so far, it has been more work than I had initially anticipated when I started the podcast. I've been extremely pleased and surprised by the number of international listeners, as well as the wide range of ages of the listeners. It has a broader appeal than I thought it would. I look forward to continuing to produce more episodes and will strive to continually improve my content over time. Now on with the story. This episode is dedicated to the memory of Kathy Sposito. The Thumb Butte area, located very close to the city of Prescott, Arizona, is a popular outdoor destination in the Prescott National Forest. The area includes many hiking, horse, and bicycle trails, as well as a picnic area. One of the most popular hiking trails in this area is Thumb Butte Trail. It's a 1.7-mile loop trail rated moderately difficult. A ridge on the trail, located below the crest of the butte, provides panoramic long-range views of the area and surrounding mountains. The trail is heavily used by hikers, is well-maintained, and is even paved in certain sections. The trail also includes some educational signage. In 1987, Kathy Sposito was a 23-year-old college student from Brooklyn, New York, who attended Prescott College, which is located in Prescott, Arizona. Prescott is a small city located in Yavapai County in central Arizona. The 1980 census indicated that the population was a little over 26,000 residents at the time. On the evening of Friday, June 12, 1987, Kathy had dinner with friends at a local restaurant. She told them of her plans to hike Thumb Butte Trail the following morning. After camping nearby that evening with her boyfriend, she rode her mountain bike to the trailhead and started her solo hike. She got an early start that morning, starting her bike ride at about 7 a.m. Shortly after she arrived at the trailhead and started her hike, other hikers heard screams. About 20 minutes later, hikers found Kathy's lifeless body. She had only hiked a few hundred yards before she was murdered. The crime scene was gruesome. There was a trail of blood over 125 feet long, which law enforcement believe indicated that she had tried to escape her attacker. She had been hit in the head with a rock, bludgeoned with a ratchet wrench, shot in the eye with a .22 caliber gun, and stabbed. there was no indication of sexual assault. For the next 3 years, the Yavapai Sheriff's Department investigated the case, but weren't able to identify a suspect. Tips came in for many years, but none were solid. Kathy's young life had been cut short by a violent killer in a horrific manner. Would law enforcement ever be able to bring the killer to justice? Then on Sunday, April 22, 1990, almost 3 years later, another woman was attacked on the same trail at the same time of day. Her assailant threatened to kill her with a softball-sized rock, then sexually assaulted her. She wasn't murdered, and law enforcement was able to obtain evidence through a rape kit. At the time, just like the Kathy Sposito murder, law enforcement was not able to identify a suspect in this case. There were no solid leads for either of these crimes for over three decades. Brian Scott Bennett was born on July 30, 1970, in Calhoun, Kentucky. According to law enforcement, he first lived in Prescott from 1985 to 1988. In October of 1986, during his sophomore year, he enrolled at Prescott High. He went by the name of Scott Bennett at the time, which confusingly is also the name of his younger brother. The Kathy Sposito murder occurred June 13, 1987, 8 months after Bennett enrolled at Prescott High. In January of 1988, he withdrew from school and he held a series of short-lived jobs. He enlisted in the U.S. Army in December of 1988 and served in California, Kansas, in North Carolina. A female child, whom he fathered, was born on February 28, 1989. He later deserted the Army in November of 1989. The second trail attack, the sexual assault previously mentioned, occurred on April 22, 1990, 5 months after he deserted the Army. Then, on July 9, 1990, he was arrested for check forgery. Less than a month later, on August 2, 1990, he was indicted for an attempted sexual assault at a house party in Chino Valley, Arizona, that took place on July 2 of that year. Witnesses indicated that he followed a female into a room, locked the door, and then attempted to sexually assault her. He was interrupted by other partygoers who forced their way into the room by breaking in the door. He ran past them. The victim indicated to investigators that she believed he was going to kill her. He was arrested but acquitted of that crime due to eyewitness testimony discrepancies. On January 7, 1991, he received 3 years probation for the forgery conviction. Later that month, he was discharged from the Army. The following year, on February 22, 1992, he was arrested for a probation violation. On June 2, 1993, a little less than 3 years after the incident at the house party, Renee Sandoval, a 22-year-old mother, was abducted at the Miller Valley Post Office, taken at knife point, put in her own car, sexually assaulted, taken to a wooded area, where he continued to sexually assault her. She feared she was going to be murdered because she later recounted that he had said, "I can't let you go because you've seen my face." Later, and very fortunately, a police officer pulled the car over for failure to dim headlights. She was then able to escape. He was also arrested for this crime, but not convicted of it due to lack of evidence and discrepancies in the stories. He later returned to Kentucky and committed suicide with a .22 caliber gun on January 27, 1994, 7 months after the Sandoval event. He didn't leave a suicide note. At the time of his suicide, law enforcement had no reason to suspect him in either of the vicious crimes on Thumb Butte Trail. The first use of DNA evidence to convict a killer in the U.S. was the conviction of George Wesley in 1988. He was convicted of killing Helen Kendrick based upon DNA evidence found in a bloodstain on his shirt. In 1998, the Federal Bureau of Investigation introduced the Combined DNA Index System, more commonly called CODIS. The system is used to share DNA profiles with law enforcement across the United States and its territories. It's used to help forensic laboratories link DNA evidence collected through arrests and crime scenes to other persons or cases already in the database. In June 2013, the United States Supreme Court ruled that police can take DNA samples for anyone arrested for any crime, whether or not DNA is relevant to their case. In practice, the laws in each state vary as to when DNA collection is allowed. After all these years, it's safe to assume that the FBI has quite an enormous database. However, at the time of the Kathy Sposito murder, the collection and handling of DNA evidence was not something that local law enforcement considered, and CODIS wouldn't exist for more than a decade. At one point, law enforcement identified a person of interest who had committed heinous acts at trailheads, but couldn't connect him to either of the Thumb Butte Trail crimes. With no solid leads, the Kathy Sposito murder eventually became a cold case. The Yavapai County Sheriff's Department Cold Case Unit of volunteers continued to work this case as well as several others for many years. 46 pieces of evidence were submitted for DNA analysis in the case of the Kathy Sposito murder over the years to many laboratories. Since Brian Scott Bennett had committed suicide so long ago, his DNA was not in the CODIS database. In 2015 and 2016, Lieutenant Dan Pritchard was assigned to the Yavapai County Sheriff's Department Criminal Investigations Bureau. As part of this assignment, he evaluated the Kathy Sposito case. During that time, he asked the volunteer unit to compare the evidence in the Kathy Sposito case to the other Thumb Butte Trail crime. After doing this, they realized that it was likely that the same individual had committed both crimes. DNA submitted from the Kathy Sposito case included DNA from the ratchet wrench that was found at the Sposito crime scene. Multiple DNA patterns were found on that key piece of evidence. When multiple DNA patterns are found on an item, it indicates what law enforcement refers to as multiple contributors, which makes the evidence less reliable. This was likely due to other people using the wrench prior to the murder, as well as the handling of evidence at the crime scene. In 2017, law enforcement took DNA from the old rape kit taken after the 1990 sexual assault on the trail and submitted it to a private laboratory, Parabon Nanolabs, for a familial DNA inquiry. They identified a female descendant of Brian Scott Bennett. Law enforcement contacted her, and she was cooperative. Since the match was a familial DNA match, the attacker could have been either Brian Scott Bennett or his brother Scott. They had no indication that his younger brother was the likely attacker, as he had led a law-abiding life. In November of 2022, Brian Scott Bennett's body was exhumed in Kentucky, where he had been buried, and a DNA sample was obtained. Through a search warrant, they also compelled his brother to provide his DNA for analysis. Brian Scott Bennett's DNA was processed and in March of 2023 was identified as a match for both of the Thumb Butte Trail crimes. Lieutenant Dennis, who oversees the Criminal Investigations Unit and the Cold Case Unit, indicated that they spoke with Brian Scott Bennett's brother, mother, and father, and they indicated that he had been a troubled youth. A press conference was held by the Yavapai County Sheriff's Department announcing their findings on August 25, 2023, during which they provided much of the information on all these cases. During that press conference, Renee Sandoval, the victim of the post office abduction and sexual assault, spoke about the case. She passionately urged others to be alert and be cautious of your surroundings. She also urged crime victims to seek counseling. Both of Kathy Sposito's parents are now deceased. Her brother Sal was interviewed by News 12 on the day of the press conference. His comments included, "I thought I would just go on not knowing, and to get an answer like this was a big relief." He also said, "This guy was a monster who preyed on other women, and that he wasn't able to hurt others after all those years. Yes, I'm glad he is dead." The Yavapai County Sheriff's Department has a high level of confidence that Brian Scott Bennett was Kathy Sposito's murderer. However, because there were multiple contributors on the DNA evidence, the case remains formally open. The other related cases mentioned are now closed. Law enforcement wants to present as much information as possible on the Kathy Sposito murder and on Brian Scott Bennett, and ask for any additional information so that if other victims exist or additional evidence exists, the persons with that information can come forward.